interesting. And he always talks about you coming up on his show, so we need to arrange for you to go up and hang out with the guys on the show with no name. Better yet, you should do it tomorrow because David's gone and you can get a word in edgewise.
I can get a word in. So yeah, I know when David's here, we don't get the opportunity to talk very much, do we?
No, but
well, where's David? Is he off in Florida somewhere?
Yes, well, actually he is, but not on vacation. He's down for the College Football Awards as he goes down every year representing the Broyles Awards. So, and we had some news about the Broyles Award yesterday. Folks may have heard that Coach Diaco from Notre Dame, who won the award last year, was named the head coach at UConn.
Oh, really?
Is taking the job, at least. I don't know if they've officially named him, but indications are that he's going to take it. Apparently, Coach Narduzzi, who won the Broyles Award this year, was also in the mix, pulled his name out, wants to stay at Michigan State for another year, or probably more to the point, doesn't want to go to UConn.
Doesn't want to go to UConn.
So that's a tough place to win, but it can be done without a doubt, especially in the conference they're in now. You can be pretty competitive, but anyway, we'll see what happens. But Coach Diaco is a very impressive guy. Had a chance to visit with him. I told him the other day, I said, I'd like to get you in the SEC, because then we'd have three former Iowa Hawkeyes coaching in the SEC, which would be really weird. I do want to ask you about the Philadelphia game the other day, and I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. Having spent
all
the time.
All the snow?
Yes. Was that bizarre?
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
And, yeah.
They kept saying the snow was like 6-8 inches out there. Players looked like they were having fun.
When I was growing up, we had some days where we would play backyard football, and it'd be 6-8 inches of snow. And the big fluffy, I remember a few days where it was like the big fluffy snow coming down. It's so much fun. But to have an NFL outcome that is somewhat impacted by the weather is a little bit bothersome to me. And we end up having a record-setting day with McCoy. It was an unbelievable performance. And apparently he went out, I saw this story yesterday, maybe 2 days ago. He went out and switched his spikes at halftime and went from like a half-inch spike to a three-quarter-inch spike.
Yeah.
And it made all the difference in the world.
Right.
And everybody else was moving in slow motion.
He
there goes McCoy.
He should have switched to some mucklucks.
Whatever works. Snowshoes?
Yeah.
Those are awkward
to
run in, but yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, or just flippers.
Yeah. Whatever.
But did you notice the fans? I mean, the stadium was pretty full of those Eagle fans up there.
Yeah.
I
don't think it was bitterly cold. There were other places. I had a friend that went to the Chicago-Dallas game this week. He's a Cowboys fan, so it wasn't much fun for him. But he said it was the most horrible experience of his life for a couple of reasons, I guess. But
well, I certainly never played in any condition like that. That was absolutely unbelievable how much snow and how hard it was snowing. My wife kept asking me, are they going to cancel the game? I said, nope, I don't think so.
Apparently not. What about how do you feel about the Super Bowl this year? With it being in New Jersey and there's a possibility we could have similar weather. It would really make me sad.
Yeah, that's it,
if the outcome was impacted.
You don't like to see a game with the weather that bad.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Well, there's no way around it. Are you a fan of them playing up there, or would you rather see them go to a tropical location?
Tropical location. You know, I think overall the tropical locations are better for the players and the fans. And,
or a dome stadium, at least.
At least a dome stadium, yes. So.
You're a defensive guy, so I have to ask you about that performance the other day by Auburn. And David talked about it a little bit this week on the show with No Name, how frustrating that has to be. It's just such a disheartening thing for a defensive player. You know what they're going to do. You know how they're going to do it, and you still can't do anything about it, which is amazing when you're talking about a championship game setting when the other team has no clue how to stop you doing the same thing over and over again.
Over and over and over. It's very frustrating. That is a very, I guess from what Malzahn does, he runs about three or four different plays, but there's so many options on those four or five different plays that once you get a one-on-one and once you get Mason out there, one-on-one with somebody, it's just very hard to bring him down.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Marshall, the quarterback, too. That's been a phenomenal story, what Gus has done down there.
Yeah, the thing about them, too, is you start thinking about the beginning of that game where Marshall looked like he was going to run it, and he ends up pulling up, throwing off the wrong foot, a perfect throw between two defenders who were in great position, right on target for a touchdown. It's like,
okie-doke.
What are we going to do now? I mean, really? Is it not ridiculous enough here? And this dude throws a touchdown like that. 9 of 11. I never thought I would see in the modern era 9 of 11 a quarterback goes and his team wins going away.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It's incredible how good they are, what they do.
I didn't realize until later in the season that they had as many returning players as they did. But on offense, I think 10 of the 11, mm-hmm. Marshall being the only one that wasn't there last year. So,
and unfortunately, most of those guys are coming back next year, too. So
exactly.
We did just hear from Edward Ashoff. He expects that that Mason may go pro, and I hope he does.
Oh.
That'd be one step in the right direction for Arkansas fans.
Going to be a tough season next year for us, too, if we, looking at that schedule. Of course, we start with Auburn, but and that may be good that it's at least early in the season, but it doesn't get much better after that, really.
Well, a couple breaks, hopefully. If Mason leaves, that helps. I think playing Auburn early helps. Again, that may only get you within two touchdowns, but it's nice to play him early rather than late.
Right.
The other thing is I saw today that the Texas Tech quarterback has left.
Oh, is that right?
So
I didn't realize that.
It'll be a new starter for the Red Raiders next season.
Okay.
He called it a miscommunication. What that means is I didn't get my scholarship immediately after starting most of the year.
Right.
So, and again, it was an unprecedented situation, a walk-on freshman as a starting quarterback. And I don't know how you let that kid get off campus without a scholarship, and whether he's your backup or your starter next year, regardless.
Is that the Webb kid?
That's right.
The one that came in at the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had a couple freshmen that played at quarterback this year, but it's that's a weird deal. I don't remember seeing a guy that started. It's one thing if you're not getting playing time.
Yeah.
Right.
But to have a kid leave that's actually playing is a little bit unique. So, I don't know. Guys do that more now than they did back in your day. I suppose you didn't have a whole lot of guys leave and go play elsewhere, did you, or did that happen a lot?
It happened a little bit, but not nearly as much as it does today. It's very common today for players to do that, but not as much back in the 60s.
Got any thoughts on the Arkansas State opening?
Not really. I'm sure there's three or four pretty hot prospects on his list up there, and it's the way it looks to me is anybody that goes there, unfortunately, it's kind of a springboard to somewhere else. And so I think from that's kind of positive for Arkansas State, I think.
I agree. Well, it definitely helps put you on the map. A couple things working in their favor. Certainly, they pay above scale for Sun Belt Conference teams. I think Harris was making $750. We were looking at it yesterday. Most of the coaches in that conference are making $300, $350, $400, $450, $500 max.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's way above scale for Sun Belt. You got good facilities. You have incredibly passionate fans almost to a fault,
right.
Or at least I think so during the UALR basketball matchups. But but they certainly are into it. They got a great environment up there, and they're really building something special up there. Hopefully the next guy can do well also, whether that's John Thompson or, as he mentioned, he's getting interest from NFL coaches. He's getting interest from coaches who are coaching bowl teams this year. So, I mean, he's getting some very interesting candidates, and they have really made a name for themselves. Again, when you see Hugh Freeze springboard, mm-hmm. Gus Malzahn, and now Harsin, I mean, if you're a coach at a place like even Ball State, the team they're playing in the GoDaddy Bowl, if you're the Ball State coach, you go, that's intriguing.
Well, and, if a coach is, we judge so much of what an AD does. I mean, it's kind of a small part of their job, I would think, but we judge them so much on the hires they make. I mean, who's done a better job at hiring coaches?
It's not a science. It's an art, Terry Mahajer told us repeatedly. He's a Rembrandt,
man. He is a Picasso, depending on your favorite school of art.
Yes.
He's amazing. You know what I think would make a great documentary is chronicling the this radio show. One. Two, I had two ideas.
Okay.
That was one. Thanks. Two is if you had a documentary that chronicled the a coaching search at a destination job. So like When the Mac Brown stuff started, if you had cameras and people in there getting interviews and getting all that information, and then later on down the road release that, put it together, and to see what it is that an AD and these firms that go to search for people, like what all that does, the inner workings of it, I think that would be fascinating. Yeah. Who wouldn't want to see that?
I don't care about it. I like. Tell me more about this radio documentary you're working on. That sounds fascinating.
Well, It's when you got some jagaloon mashing buttons from 11 to 1 or 10 to 1. However,
you know what?
Whenever you
discount my performance like most people discount the ability level required to be a tambourine superstar.
Look,
I'm not saying I'm there yet.
What I'm looking for in a tambourine player is
I'm a TSIT is what I am, Gary Adams. I'm a tambourine superstar in training.
In training.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking for the Michael Qualls of tambourine, like a guy that can go get you a loud 16.
I was loud.
A loud 16.
I announced my presence with authority like Nuke LaLouche.
Yeah, you did. You kept walking in front of me, like on stage.
I didn't mean to.
Teasing.
I was walking in front of Darren. He didn't seem to mind. Darren and I had a real connection.
Yeah.
Darren and I were really getting into it. He's over there playing an actual instrument, a guitar, and I'm over there mashing tambourine.
Well, you start letting me ask more questions when we have the guests. I start letting you stand in front of me when we play the tambourine.
You know
how
what?
About that?
Done.
Done.
Done did.
Done and done.
And it was weird because I know you feel like you're sort of stepping into my world here, and it was very strange stepping into your world the other day.
You did a great job, and I just want to say You helped sell some merch that night.
Buddy.
You did a great job.
Hey, look, you have to give me credit. I'm an above-average MC, perhaps a slightly below-average tambourine player.
Bro, what you lack in tambourine, you more than make up with MC and on the ones and twos.
Thank you. If you need a slightly overweight, squatty MC, I'm your guy. Back to Mohajer's comments from earlier. If you missed it, Terry Mohajer, the athletic director at A State, who joined us for about 20 minutes this morning. He says they doesn't feel a lot of pressure right now, but certainly I think from a fan base standpoint, they want to see a dynamic offense. He said, I definitely want somebody who can develop and coach quarterback. So that's certainly an area of focus, and whether that's a defensive guy or an offensive guy.
Well, I think the thing that most people would like to see is someone that's you know, still has a future out there rather than someone that's in their last 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You know, and with all these young minds in football, and of course it changes offensively to defensively. You know, used to we always said, hey, defense wins games. And, you know, now it's the defense trying to stop the offense. And but I hope that they get someone that, you know, that's there for a few years but then can go on somewhere else.
I agree with you. He says they're going to be quick but not in a hurry. And, again, the interest they're getting, if they're getting NFL assistants and they're getting guys who are coaching bowl teams right now, that's pretty impressive, I think. So, again, the hard work's been done. You've established yourself as a great place to be. It may not be a destination job in the way that SEC gigs are or
it's
Texas.
It's a premier job in a
yeah, of the,
FBS.
Of the group of five, it is about as good a gig as you're going to find.
That's right.
But, you know, in looking at, you know, even when I was at Arkansas and looking at Coach Broyles and what he was able to accomplish and all these young minds that he would bring in, and they'd be there 2-3 years, and then he would help them get head jobs somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, I always wondered, I said, you know, why are these guys always leaving? They're here for 2-3 years. That was the plan. They would come to the University of Arkansas. Yeah. Coach Broyles would, he didn't have to recruit them. They would be wanting to come there. And then they knew that he would help them get jobs 2 or 3 years down the road.
I'm going to throw a name out real quick as we take this time out. We come back, we'll have a quick Jim's Razorback Pizza report because we were way behind on that. But I saw this on CBSSports.com this morning, and it's a story by Bruce Feldman talking about Butch Davis. And the fact that he's been cleared of any wrongdoing at UNC, and yet he is sitting out there as a guy who has been either unhirable or at the very least he hasn't been hired by anybody. The right opportunity has not come along. If you're Arkansas State right now, Butch Jones is still a relatively young guy. He's a guy that's got Arkansas ties, being, you know, from the state. To me, he needs an opportunity. He's a guy who's... He was a name that was brought up when the Arkansas opening was around. So if you're an Arkansas State fan, that would make a pretty big splash. Again, it's a little bit different than a up-and-coming coordinator that you've hired in the past. But to me, that would make a lot of sense. Now, again, I've been saying John Thompson deserves a shot at it. He's an Arkansas native, too. He's done a great job. He was the interim last year when they won their bowl game against a talented team. So love to see him get an opportunity as well. But if you're going to try to get a guy with some Arkansas ties, and I'm not talking about University of, I'm talking about State of, Butch would be a great, you know, be a great opportunity to get a guy like that, and you can make the buyout whatever you want. A guy like this is not desperate, but he's certainly eager.
John, you mentioned John; he has certainly paid his dues, and you know, I hope he is considered also.
Well, and Terry said that he was. He's very much in the mix. So,
well,
I'd love to see him and get a shot at it.
And you know, just to think about the things that Arkansas has produced, you know, as far as football wise, we've produced, I would say, as much as anybody, really quality, talented coaches, whether or not they stayed here or went somewhere else.
Yeah.
It'd be hard to find a place per capita that puts out more coaches of a high ability.
Yeah.
I mean, from just you could name them all. I mean,
name me one.
Bear Bryant.
Yeah, he's pretty good. All right,
not
fine.
Bad. Pretty good.
Whatever.
Good choice, Matt.
Gary, good seeing you. Thank you. We got to take a timeout. We'll be back in just a minute. It's 11:51 in the zone. Justin Anchory, Matt Stell, Matty T back in the Fury Electric studio. Before we turn it over to the commercial block, I do want to mention our friends at Sport Clips. And Matt, seriously, I've been meaning to talk to you, buddy.